Thank you. Well, I want to come down here and preach. Man, I wish I could have that the whole service. I've done youth ministry now for 31 years. I can't believe it because I'm only like 37. And but I used to have one of my young men in my ministry would play while I preached, and I just felt like I was in a living room just pouring my heart out to my kids. And I'm just teasing. You don't stay here all night. But I want to talk to you about, it's been a while since I've been here, and I want to tell you what we're doing. In 31 years, we were in the church for 27, and the last 7 years, we've been just going crazy all over this country, traveling and ministering. And there's three facets that we've been doing. Ministry, Randy Don Ministry, is three facets. One is camps, revival retreats, and all kinds of things within the church. Weekends and conventions and stuff like that. And we travel all over the country doing that right now. And another one is that we are now working with inner cities. I've been now doing inner cities maybe like the last 5 years. God's called us to the inner cities. We've been in Philadelphia, Cleveland, Ohio, Pittsburgh. We've been in Wilmington, Delaware, one of the worst cities in per capita in the entire nation is Wilmington, Delaware. It's just crazy. Sick stuff. How many people know that? Maybe you haven't heard that, but it is per capita. And it's crazy what God's doing. He allows us to run a golf outing. And every year now we've been having this golf outing. Last year we raised $22,000 in a golf outing. I had 36 teams. And I took and probably spent, we spent $17,700 this year in the inner cities. And what we do is we come into the inner city and we pay the entire expense. So there's no debt due to them at all. I take care of hotel, flights, and everything. And then when I go to leave, I will sign a check to the pastor, just the pastor and his wife, and I will bless them because what the Lord has done for us. It's amazing. And that's what I think should happen in our inner cities. I don't think we should tax anybody from doing anything. We should come and bless them and lavish on them. And what God has done with the inner cities is amazing. And the third facet that we're doing is I mentor 9 young men a week, 9 hours a week in mentorship, where I do an hour session every single week. We've been doing it now. One of my longest is 6 months. And it's all about youth ministry. It's all about how to raise people, how to raise youth pastors, how to teach people how to do youth ministry and God's giftedness. About a year and a half ago, I wrote a book called Irrelevant Youth Ministry, Making It Matter. And I'm not sure it even came out when we were here last. But there's over 27 to 30 years in this book. And the reason why it's Irrelevant Youth Ministry, and I'm only giving this commercial, is because of the fact that these are great for parents. You might have wayward kids. You might have kids that ask questions. How many parents, your kids, have driven you crazy? And how many of you kids would say your parents are driven you crazy? We'll give you that back, okay? And so this book helps to connect. The reason why it's Irrelevant Youth Ministry is because I'm traveling all over the country. I'm finding that there's not churches like this. I'm finding in churches they're not having youth ministry because their very quote is, it's irrelevant today. We're tired of babysitting the youth of this culture, and we're not effective anymore. And I'm thinking, man, you don't even know what you're doing. You don't know what's happening. If you don't affect and reach this generation for Jesus Christ, we're going to lose something. This is the greatest generation ever created for such a time as this. And I believe in that. Young people, I want you to hear that. I want that to resonate in your spirit. You're the greatest generation God could have ever created for such a time as this, because you're crazy. You are crazy. And God, so I want to be irrelevant to this culture. I want to be relevant to the gospel of Jesus Christ in this culture. I want to be irrelevant to this culture, but I want to be relevant to the gospel of Jesus Christ to affect this culture. And so that's why we wrote the book. So I'm going to give this out. I'm going to give this to you, my man. There you go right there. Okay. Also, I put some sermons on a flash drive. Just got these really cool 4 gig flash drives. You know, everybody's selling CDs. But I have these now, and there's 13 sermons on them, and you can get those in the back for $10, and that's just that. And you have a computer? Yes, stick it in there. There you go, right there. Okay. You're welcome. I want to talk to you tonight about identity crisis. I think it's big today, because I've been praying, God, give me relevant messages for the culture today where we're at. And I think one of the biggest, most relevant things today is called identity crisis. Because I think people have lost their minds of who they are. We've lost our minds in this culture. For instance, we have things in our home to protect us. We have things on our computer to protect us. We have things like LifeLock, Identity Guard. We have Trusted ID. We have all these things of security in our home to protect who we are, our identity. Isn't it amazing today that, think about this, how your identity gets destroyed in a few minutes. How many people have Facebook? How many have a computer? How many have, even on your TV, you have a thing called Netflix? And they tell you to scroll through and you have to put your password. But how many people know that they know what their username is, but they somehow, the password keeps getting lost? How does a password get lost when it's yours? And what I'm saying is, even in those moments, I have just in that moment, I've lost who I am. We know that we protect our credit cards as I travel. Now they're putting a little chip in there. The chip's supposed to protect. In fact, you can buy a case to protect all your cards so somebody can't just go by and scan it while they're walking by you for your credit cards. You know that? If you don't know that, get to know that, because that's what's happening. There are people today that want to steal who you are. They are want to become you. They will steal you. Now, I'm from Pittsburgh, and I know I talk a little bit like New York, but I'm talking about the word steal. Not steal like as in solid steel, but to take something from you, okay? Steal. Because my wife says you steal that Eastern accent. Think about it. We forget our own identities. We forget them on underneath iPads and these, but we have to reset. We have to reset who we are every once in a while. Is this resonating with anybody's spirit? I get sick of that. I have this really cool password that I have to keep changing. Because they say to me, you have to put a cap letter in there, and then you have to do numbers, and now they're saying you have to do a symbol. I'm like, okay. I mean, what else can you put in there that they, all of a sudden they lose that? It tracks down, and then before you know it, you have to reboot. Now, that's going to be a strong word I want you to remember tonight, because in identity crisis, a lot of times there's a time where you have to reboot. And I'll take a sidebar here, because somebody's in this room tonight that you've almost lost your mind because you're trying to struggle with, you are struggling with the fact of who you are, why you exist, what's happening in my life. And God's saying tonight to you, he brought me all the way from Michigan across Canada and held me hostage where I couldn't even use my telephone to tell you that somebody tonight has to unplug and reboot. In Jesus Christ. Because your identity is in something other than Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk to you tonight about your identity. Crisis is in Jesus Christ alone that can fix that. Period. Is this being live streamed? I just wish it was, because I wish one night Oprah Winfrey would turn on the show. No, I'm sick of this. I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of her telling everybody that there's many avenues to the kingdom of God. I thought about this on the way over. I thought about somebody arguing with me about culture and Christ. And all I have to say is one thing at the end of a conversation. I'm not going to argue with you, sir. You know, you have your opinions, I have mine. But I will say one thing. The Bible says that there will be a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So guess what, mister? Whether you believe it or not, I'm not going to argue with you, but you will confess it one day. So have a great day. God bless you. That's how I roll. I was on an airplane not too long ago. I'm flying across this country. I'm going to New Jersey. I'm getting ready to speak in New Jersey. As I'm going, I'm flying into Philadelphia. They're going to pick me up. They're going to take me into New Jersey. I'm on this plane next to this woman that I have my Bible open. And I'm reading my Bible, and I hear this little snickering, like, and she's in the middle, I'm on the aisle, and there's somebody next to me, and she says, you don't really believe in that hogwash, but that's not what she used. And I said, are you talking about my Bible? Because I didn't know she was talking to me. I'm like, you talking to me? You talking to me? She's sitting right next to me. I'm like, oh, this right here, my Bible, that's junk. It's not relevant. It's a mess. It's messed up our culture. And I'm like, you're right. It's messed up our culture. Because it's called truth. And this word of God will set you free. Now, ma'am, I'm going to say this to you, ma'am. I'm going to continue to read. You're not affecting me. I'm going to continue to read because today, maybe my purpose is to sit by you to rescue you from arrogance, ignorance, and who you are. See, I'm not afraid to talk like that. And so I just said, can I continue to read while you're still, like, whatever? We didn't even take off yet. She says, well, whatever. If we go down, forget that going up. I said, ma'am, we're not going down. I said, because God's taking me to a place I've got to preach. So we're not going to crash. because I know I'm purposed to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because I know who I am in Christ. And I want to show you that tonight because somebody's struggling with this. So I said, listen, why don't you do your thing? I'll do my thing. I promise we'll end up two different places, but it'll be cool. Because at the end of the flight, I hope you ask me another question later. Because I'm ready for you. I hear this guy two rows behind me. This brother's two rows behind me. You can tell he's a brother because not all white people can sing like that. He's like, That's all I heard. I look back and he goes, oh, preacher, preacher. Lady, two rows over this side just said, oh, it's about time somebody stands up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I said, well, there's no argument here. I just know what I believe, and that's cool with me. So we end up getting off the plane. Get off the plane. We land. Woman gets up. I let her go because I wasn't going to mess with this. I go down to the carousel. Now, I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing my thing. And then later on, I'm playing solitaire. It was pretty cool. She actually was trying to get into solitaire game. And so I'm playing. But I get out of the carousel, and I'm down the carousel picking up my bag, and I get my bag, and all of a sudden, I see her in the corner. She's wrestling to get this bag off the belt. So I thought, you know what? I'm cool. Let me go over. I pick this bag up, and it's like, it's probably this big. It's like wrestling with a dog or something. Here you go. Shh, pulled the stick out. Here you go, ma'am. And I said, God bless you. Have a great day. And I walk away, and she goes, excuse me, mister. I said, what's up, ma'am? I'm sorry. She goes, I just want to say something to you. I started off wrong today on the plane. But this is twice today that you rescued me. You see, you stood up for something that you believe in, and it really convicted. She didn't say it made me feel guilty. She said it convicted my spirit. And I'm not even sure what I'm saying right now, except you rescued me twice. You rescued me on the plane when you started speaking God, and you rescued me from that stupid piece of luggage. That's how you have to roll. Because you know who you are in Christ, and I'll show you what that means. The Bible says in John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. That's awesome, 10:10. Man, I came to give life. Christ is life. See, most of our identity is how we're known. We're known by our past. We're known by our former reputation. We're known by identity, sports, who you used to date, who you went out to the prom with, all that stuff. When I grew up in the Italian home, oh my gosh. I'll never forget, my parents were hairdressers. They owned a shop on the campus of Washington Jefferson, one of the greatest doctor schools, lawyer schools in the country, Little Washington, PA, below Pittsburgh. My parents had a hairstyling salon called His and Hers Hairdressers. My parents used to do my teacher's hair. A lot of my teachers. My mother used to say this when I was a kid. Listen, your name is Don Giovanni. You walk out of this house and you mess that name up. You hurt that name. You hurt all of us, not just you, mister. See, that's a good point. That could preach too. Write that one down because you're not writing enough notes. You are wearing the name. So when the name goes out, you don't only hurt you, you hurt all of us. The identification of a name is important. But that's not where you live. That's not where you dock. Because some of you have had the past. I just heard one tonight. The past of your past that everybody will always remember how you partied, how you got drunk, how many people you had sex with, how many things you've done with. They remember all the junk, but nobody really remembers the day you got saved and transformed because they haven't seen you for a while. You show up at a fifth-year high school reunion, 20 years later, a 25th high school reunion, and my sister says to me, can you give the prayer, invocation for the food? I'm like, yeah. It was my 25th high school reunion. We graduated 817 people in my graduating class in 19. And so what happened was, this night there's only 400 and some people 25 years later. I don't know what happened to everybody. I don't know what happened, but they're no longer there. And I go to speak, and all I said was, tonight I'm so glad to be here. And you all look great. And I couldn't help but start crying. I was like, listen, the only regret I have in all of my life is that I didn't tell every one of you individually about Jesus Christ. my Savior, my best friend. And there was my Jewish neighbor, Scott. My neighborhood was all Jewish and Italian. Crazy messed up neighborhood. Scott's sitting there and he says, I just knew it. I knew that you would either be a preacher or a comedian. Brother Marty, I just said, what's the difference? Because see, I didn't want to do this. I didn't know this would be fully my identity. Because I ran for a long time because I didn't want to do this because I cannot preach like these men. I don't have that style. But I know with young people I'm affected. And that's why I've been in youth ministry 31 years, because that's not just my identity, that's my calling. That's who I am in Christ. That's my purpose, that's not my passion, that's my purpose that became my passion. My purpose isn't to be a preacher, my purpose is to preach Jesus. I hope you get that. There's a story here in Genesis chapter 5 about two young boys, the first twins in all of history. In fact, I'm a twin. I have a twin sister. No, she has hair. Don't look at me like that. And so this story was awesome for me because sometimes I felt like this story. This is Jacob and Esau. Verse 21 of 25, it says, Esau, Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. Said the Lord answered his prayer, and his wife, Rebekah, became pregnant. The babies jostled with each other in her womb. And she said, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, verse 23. And the Lord said to her, two nations are in your womb. There are two peoples from within you will be separated. The one people will be stronger than the other, and the oldest will serve the younger. And when the time came for her to give birth, these twins were born in her womb. And the first one came out of red, was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. They called him Esau. After this, his other brother came out, and his hand grasped Esau's heel, so his name was Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old, and Rebekah gave birth to him. The boys grew up, verse 27, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. 28, Isaac, who had a taste for the wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished, verse 30. And he said to Jacob, quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished. And Jacob replied, first sell me your birthright. Look, I'm about to die, he said. What good is my birthright to me? Jacob said, swear to me first. And he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank, and he got up and left, so Esau despised his birthright. There's two points I want to get across. Number one is, how can someone con you into selling their birthright? How can somebody con you into selling their birthright? There's a couple things. Number one is deception. People are deceiving. People are desperate. People are greedy. People are selfish. How many know what I'm talking about? See, I want this to resonate in your spirit because this is where I know this church is. This church is unfolding. This church is growing. But it needs to be people to be honest. You can't walk out of here tonight, listen to a message, listen to their preaching, and just say, that was good for me. Let's go have dinner. Forget it. Let's wash our hands. This is what God says tonight, is to grab a hold of how can somebody be conned in selling their birthright. So the answer is this. While Jacob and Esau were brothers, in the Bible they talked about the twins. They were struggling together in their mother's womb. God knew from the end from the beginning. He knew before the birth of Jacob and Esau just what characters they would develop, be developed in them. He knew that Esau was not to have a heart to obey him. Esau didn't have a heart to obey God. He answered the troubled prayer of Rebekah, then informed her that you would have two children. The older would serve the younger. And yet didn't understand what that meant. The firstborn was entitled to the particular advantages, special privileges, which belonged to no other member of the family. This is the older. This is the one, it's the older brother, the firstborn. How many know what I'm talking about? There was King Saul that had a son named Jonathan. He was supposed to be first in the place of the kingdom, but he knew that David was the one that God was going to put as king instead of him, the son. It goes a little farther to talk about how much that Jacob became the deceiver, the liar, the cheater. Chapter 27, it says this. Jacob deceives his own father, Isaac. His father, Isaac, is laying down and the sons come in to get the blessing. They were looking for the blessing. He deceives himself as Esau. He covers his arm with a goat skin. His own mother helped him devise this. His own mother helped him scheme this so that he could ask his father for the inheritance. Jacob becomes Esau at that moment. How deceitful. Has anybody ever been deceived? Has any of your families ever abandoned you and ever wanted the inheritance? I'll never forget in our family, my grandmother had passed away, and my mother was going to court, and she asked me to come because they were going to go over the will of the inheritance. I remember that day as my mother and I were tricked and duped by her brother that took a sidetrack. Instead of going to the courthouse to talk about the will, the brother ended up going. The sister, my mother, that was supposed to get the inheritance, was sidetracked to take care of his wife. She all of a sudden became faint and had to go to the hospital. Instead of me going to my mother to court that day to sign over that the will, the inheritance, became my mother's, the younger brother deceived my mother and took the inheritance. Thank God my mother is a godly woman that loves God and says, it doesn't matter about the inheritance of man, because I know I'll get the inheritance of the kingdom. Amen. When we know who we are in Christ, we don't need this inheritance. It'll be good for a while, but how many know when somebody knows you have money? How many know about who went nuts over the $1.5 billion that was just played? It came all the way to New York, was it not? Powerball or whatever it was. Some of you might be sitting here, you might have bought a ticket. You might. I thought about it. Hey, I'm not lying to you. I'll never forget when they said five people won, they won $50,000. It's like, what happened to the $1.5 billion? The deception, the lies, the deceit of even his own father. Number two is, how can I regain my birthright? This is where it gets fun. How can I regain my identity? How can I gain back the trust of who God is in my life? That everything that somebody stripped out of my life, everything somebody took, it's number one, to reconcile my life back to Jesus. That's how I regain my birthright. Everything somebody stole, it's about repentance. It's about my identity in Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 says this. Since then, you've been raised with Christ. Since your hearts, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2. Set your minds on the things above, not on the earthly things. Verse 3. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. I want you to get this. This Colossians will change your mind and your thinking. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Because now I am in Christ. How can I regain my birthright? By coming to the Savior named Jesus. To make in my life change. Young people, you're being lied to, manipulated. You're being told that you don't have rights. You're being told in your schools that you cannot pray, you cannot worship, you can't say anything about God. I want to tell you tonight in front of this entire congregation and my great friend Marty, the pastor, is this. You have every right to exercise all those things in your school. There is nothing. There's the Fifth Amendment. You have the equal access right to be able to go into your school and say to your principal, we want to have a club, we want to have a prayer time, and I will talk about Jesus, period. They cannot say no to you, or you can literally, like I had one of the young girls in my ministry in Plymouth, Michigan. She sued her principal for lying and defamation of character. This is amazing. He told her she could have a club, then he shuts the club down. She goes back and says, I want the club. If you don't give me the club, I will take you to court. I will sue you for defamation of lying to me, and you will lose your job. And he lost his job. She won. Her name was Nicole. I'm telling you, this is God's honest truth. When I was doing Youth Alive for the state of Michigan, this was one of the greatest days of my life. Not so much for him and how he had to be punished and everything. But let me say something to you. You have a voice. You also have a voice in your homes to say to your parents, what's wrong here? And why are we feeling this way? And why are we acting this way? And I'm going to take this. Thank you. You have a right in your homes to say, Mom and Dad, will you give me my birthright to be able to talk about Jesus? Because I'm getting it in church and you need to go with me. We have a right to say something about the identity in Jesus Christ. You see, here's the greatest thing about this story. And what happens is this. What happens is Jacob loses his mind. He doesn't understand that God had promised him the inheritance. He promised him that he would be served by the elder brother. Kind of reminds me of Joseph. Joseph has a dream. You know the story. He begins to tell his brothers, the Bible says his brothers not only hated him, but they hated him all the more. That's a lot of hate. They sell him. They beat him up. They put him in a cistern. They sell him to Egypt. He goes to Egypt in Pharaoh's house. It's a confused situation. Whoop, Popo shows up. They take him to jail. Because Potiphar, which is Potiphar's wife, accused him to have sex with her. She said, this man has had sex with me. And I want him to take him to jail. So he goes to jail. He interprets a dream. His friends are like, we'll be with you, man. We'll come back and get you. No, they didn't. Misinterpretation. Thought, God, wait a minute, you called me. All along this path of Joseph's life, he never complains. He doesn't go crazy. He begins to say things like, and God is with me. And God is with me. You know what he says to Potiphar's wife? Listen, first of all, I cannot sin against my God. The other thing is, I cannot sin against your husband in this house. That's called integrity. He never lost who he was in God. And so what's God do? He rewards him. God gives him the inheritance and he saves the house of Jacob. He saves the house. He saves Israel. Why? Because of the good life and the 7 years. And then there's a famine. And God moves through that, through Joseph. Why? Because he stayed faithful. He knew his identity was in God. You've lost your minds. America's losing their minds. They're losing who they are in Christ. We have a job to do. We need to rescue people on airplanes. Telling them about the Jesus, I don't just do because I'm a preacher. Listen, that's far from it. I don't talk and go places because I preach the word. Genesis 32, all of a sudden there's this wrestling match with God. Jacob, he's with God. He wrestles. He said he knows he's done the wrong thing and now he needs help. He comes to a place of reconciliation. How does he get his birthright back? He starts to come to a place of the inheritance and asking, God, forgive me. God, give me reconciliation with my brother. God, reconciliation with my father. And he wrestles this angel all night long. And all of a sudden, God just goes and knocks out his hip so that he will never forget that he wrestled with God Almighty. Verse 28 is amazing. Because some of you are in here and you've lost your birthright, you've lost your identity and who you are because you're still thinking as old school. I'm no good. I'm too small. I'm not good enough. I'm a loser. Earthly fathers have talked this way. I love my dad and I buried my dad well at 80. But my dad went from a zero to a hero, thank God. My father was very verbally abusive. My parents were separated for 3.5 years. How do I understand this identity? I can only share with you some stories. When I was 8 years old, I went to a church camp. And it was with the Italian church called the CCMNA. Maybe you've heard of them. I went to Sharpsville, Pennsylvania camp. I was 8 years old when I sat there and listened to the preacher talking about the DNA of Jesus. What can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so at 8 years old, I got saved. And I remember him saying that night, your DNA is no longer that which was in you from your parents. Because now through the blood of Jesus Christ, he cleanses, he changes, he washes you clean. You're pure in God. You don't have all those things. There's not going to be the generational curses that were coming. Because now you can break them at 8 years old. You can break them. You can live to break them. Because you have the DNA of Christ and you get the blood of Jesus. And I thought that was pretty cool. I was like, I didn't even do like a little pack thing like poke. We're brothers for Christ, man. I didn't do all that. Not knowing that 2 weeks later, my dad would be kneeling in the living room with my three sisters behind him, and I'm in front of him. My mother's weeping in the stairwell that he was going to be leaving because he committed adultery, and my mother's like, you have to leave. Not knowing any of that, 2 weeks before I get saved, now I'm standing in the living room, 8 years old, with my dad's head in my hands, and I'm saying things like, you can go. You have to get your life right. You got to go because you can't stay dead. You're not saved. You made a mistake. You can't come back until you're saved. I'll take care of the house. 8 years old. Here's what I said to my father. Dad, I'm going to say this to you. God prepared me because 2 weeks ago, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And it allowed that DNA to change you and me. I will not be like you. I cannot look. I can look like you. I can have your characteristics, but I will not blame you. And I will not say that I'm angry because. I won't say that I'm drinking beer because. I won't say I'm smoking beer, smoking a joint, or smoking cigarettes because of you. I cannot blame you because God changed me. And I found my identity at 8 years old. And I never looked back. Never looked back. Because my name was changed. That day. So in verse 28, it says, God says, your name will no longer be Jacob, the deceiver, but Israel, meaning triumphant with God, who prevails with God from a loser to a winner. His identity was changed forever. Forever. Changed names. Names changed like Saul to Paul. Peter's name was to the rock. You will become the rock and you will build churches out of everything you plant. And greater things will you do, Peter, than what I've done. How cool is that? Ephesians 15, chapter 1, 1:5. Ephesians 1:5. Follow God's example. Therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint. Well, see, this is where the culture doesn't live. The culture doesn't live in this scripture. How many, listen, brother, you sang that. I'm telling you, you're amazing. Your voice, I remember last time I was here, your voice gets stronger and stronger. What a machine. This is your baby? That's what I said, this is your baby. I don't mean your daughter. Come on, man. I get that all the time. That's your number one baby, brother. Don't play games with me. Oh, gosh. You sing songs that change and transform people's life. You're not just a worship leader. You lead us into worship. There's a difference. Worship leaders are like, oh, they run the temperature of how you react to the songs. And you're not singing it. I must not be doing the right thing. Those are people that lead worship. But people that lead us into worship are the ones that bring us to the throne. I could care less what anybody else is doing. Because I stand before God leading myself. Come on now. I don't look at the countenance of people to know that I'm right or wrong. I stand before an almighty God. I hope you get this. This is great. But this is the problem with our culture. But among you, there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Or any kind of impurity or greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Now people that have changed their inheritance. Changed their identity. People that are no longer living of what you looked like in the past. Nor should it be obscenities, foolish talk, coarse joking, which is out of place. Rather, thanksgiving. Verse 5. For of this you can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such as a person as an idolater, has any inheritance, there's that word, in the kingdom of Christ of God. I'm thinking, therefore, do not partner with any of them. They are not part of the family. Their identity is not in Christ. See, we're called joint heirs. We're members. We're alive in Christ. We're reconciled through Christ. We're children of the King. The devil wants to destroy you. Here's what it says. The devil came to steal your joy. Anybody ever hear joy stolen? He wants to kill your identity. You have to keep rebooting and resetting your password. And watch this one. He will destroy your will. He's sly. He knows what he's doing. You think the devil's dumb? I have a young person say to me, devil's stupid. I said, no, he's not. He's brilliant. He was number one, most gorgeous angel of all creation. But he's a deceiver. And he's a thief. See, you no longer be called stupid, idiot, irrelevant, no good at embarrassing, dumb, loser. Oh my goodness. I'm going to do this illustration, but I want to give you scriptures of identity in Christ. Write these scriptures down. Just write them down. I'll read them. You write them. John 1:12. He gave the right to become the children of God. Ephesians 1:5. He predestined us for adoption of sonship through Jesus Christ in according with his pleasure and will. You know what? He likes you. He takes pleasure in you. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Bible says that he sings over you. He sings over you. And I have a great story to finish with. A young lady that learned how to listen to God singing. Romans chapter 15, 7. Accept one another then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. Love your brothers and sisters. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. Colossians 2, 9 and 10. For in Christ, all of the fullness of his deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought through to the fullness. He is the head over every power and every authority. And guess what? He lives in you. You are Christ in flesh. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But whoever is united with the Lord is one with him in spirit. Oh man, that's good. 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light. That's great. 1 Peter 2:9. The last one I'll read is this. For all who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. Come on, I can't give you much more than this. This is great. Would you come, band? For we stand now with God in one. I'm going to show you this really crude kind of illustration. And I have two vessels here. This is pretty crazy. This vessel is the world. Dark, stained, tainted, jaded. This is what the world looks like. It's full of deception, deceit, recklessness, abandonment, lies, gossip. Oh, come on, somebody. Rejection. You're not good enough. You're too fat. You're too short. You're too ugly. You got no hair. You got too much hair. You're a loser. You're never going to make it. You're junk. That's what the world is. That's what the world is. So all of a sudden, God said, guess what? You are like Skittles. And you're born into this world. You're born into this world. If I can open this package right, it would be great. And so I'm going to pour you into this world because you are born into this world. You're born into deception, lies, cheating, arrogance, frustration, rejection, junk. We are. The Bible says before Christ, we're sinners. We're born into sin. We're born into this sin. I was preaching this message on the way over today. And I thought, oh God, I hope we get this. It's dark, it's hopeless, it's void, it's anger, it's frustration. It's like, God, how can you put me here? It's death, it's suicide, it's not thinking you're good enough, you're junk, you're desperate. It's like, God, where are you? There is no God. Sounds like the world. Because that's what it is. The world does not know what sin is because they don't know they're sinning. I mean, they hear it, we preach to them, but they don't know what that is because they've never seen the light. Thank you. They've never seen the light. There's addiction here. There's pornography here. There's violence here. There's domestic violence. There's abuse. There's all this stuff in the world. And then God says, I got a plan. I'm bringing Christ. Clarity, vision, purpose, passion, deliverance, God, Jesus, came flesh. And he sends him to earth, a vessel that he's poured into, poured out of, shed the blood for you and I. That he says, no longer through Christ, when you accept who I am and you're forgiven for who I am, and there's repentance and there's deliverance in Christ, only in Christ. Only in Christ. You'll get clarity, you'll get vision, you'll get purpose, you'll get promise. And so he says, I take you out of this world. And through Christ, I dump you into Christ. I've forgiven you, I've healed you, I've set you free. You're no longer addicted. You're no longer stuck. Because you're now in Christ. There's clarity. You see every color, every image, everything. There's no longer blemish. It's pure in Christ. It's not I'm looking at your past, because your past is already forgiven. I've had people say to me, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I've done. I ask God, God, how could you heal me? And God looks at me, and I know what God says is, when did you do that? How did you do that? Why did you do that? Oh, God, come on. Don't play with me, man. Don't play with me, God, because you know I'm addicted. You know I'm a mess. You know that I can't ask forgiveness because I'm stuck in my stuff. And God says, no, you're not, because I don't know that about you. I now see you in here. See, when you're in Christ, no longer does God look at you as you. He doesn't view you as you. He does not view you as you. He doesn't see you anymore. He sees you through Christ. Through the lens of Christ, through the body of Christ, through the blood of Christ. You are good. I hope you're getting this, man. Your identity has changed because you're in Christ. You're no longer a reject, a loser. You're no longer an addict. You're no longer talking about pornography. You're no longer a molester. You're no longer a cheater, a gossiper, a liar, because now you're in Christ. He does not see your sin anymore. Let me tell you something. I don't know who you are, but I think you wrestle with this sometimes. I don't know who you guys are, but you wrestle with this sometimes. And don't lie to me. I just feel it in my spirit. Some of you young people are wrestling with this. I had a father that abandoned me, but I did not hold him to it because I became in Christ. So 3.5 years later, my dad was in a horrible car accident. Horrible car accident. Almost killed him. 182 stitches in his face. Almost severed right arm. They had to sew his arm back. He's a hairstylist. Almost his leg had to be amputated because of the way that he got hit. He laid in a coma for 6 months. My dad. I'm 11 and a half years old now. And God says, go to the hospital and pray every single day over your dad. Sing over your dad. Love on your dad. So every day I went to see my father and I prayed with him and loved him through Christ. I didn't look at him all messed up and junk. I looked at him at the day he's going to be saved and he's going to be reconciled through Christ. So I prayed over him and I loved him and I lavished on him. 6 months later, I was saying goodbye. I kissed him on the forehead. Nobody was there. My family wasn't there. And I went to say goodbye and I slid down his arm. I rubbed his hand a little bit and I went to leave and I was pulled back. My father came awake, grabbed my hand. I'm like, what? I said, oh my gosh, let me go get a nurse. No, don't do it. Don't get the nurse. Don't go get anybody. Dad, you said, Dad, you're back? Dude, I'm here. And I started screaming like a little girl. I can admit that. I said, come on, Dad. No, don't. Shh. I'm like, Dad, he said this to me. Son, I've heard every prayer. I've heard every scripture. I don't want to sit here in that anymore. Would you lead me, the only son that I have, would you lead me to Jesus? And that day my dad's name was changed. His name was changed. No longer looked at from when he was beat as a kid and stupid and told that he was no good and he was talked about by the priest in the church. That's gone. Because now he's in Christ. I buried my dad 80 years old. From a zero to a hero. From a reject that treated me like horrible to the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Because I know when my dad crossed kingdom,
He talked about his son. But he met the son.
I don't know what you're going through. I want to finish one last story because I have an altar call. I had a girl in my youth ministry just recently. She came to me on a Wednesday night and she walked up and says, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. I've been here like a month. I'm hearing about Jesus. I've asked him to come back into my life. I've asked him to reconcile, but something's happened in my home. I go to bed at night and there's demons. There's these spirits at my bedpost. And they're taunting me. I put my head under the cover and I go, oh God, please. And they're still there. What do I do, Pastor? What do I do? I said, you want to get really radical? She said, I want to get radical. I said, you got any oil in your home? She said, oil? I said, olive oil. Yes. Take that oil and you take it and dip it and you put it over the doorpost, all over your house, and you pray over your house. Because she said, here's the story. My parents are alcoholics. I get up at 6 o'clock in the morning. I get a shower. I get myself ready. Then I go downstairs and I make breakfast. And I get my mom and dad up and I put them around the table and I feed them breakfast. Then I take and I move them over to the TV where they sit all day and they drink. And then I go to school. And after school, I come home. I fix dinner. I put them at the table because they're still at the couch, passed out. I get them food and I take care of them. Then I go to work and it's every single day. It's every single day, Pastor. My life is horrible. I didn't see her for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, she comes in. Pastor! So what's up? You won't believe what happened. Oh my gosh. It's a miracle. I said, what? She said, the spirits are gone. The spirits are gone. My parents asked me this morning, can they start coming to church? My parents don't even know who I am sometimes. She said, I'll tell you what I did. I went home, I did the oil thing. I got a little bit more than I should have done. I kind of made a mistake, I think. I said, what'd you do, baby? She said, well, I didn't just dip. I just flicked it everywhere. She goes, I'm going like this through the house. She said, I splashed it all over the couch, in their bed. She said, my mother said to me a week ago, what are all these spots all over the walls? What's this greasy stuff in my bed? And she's like, I don't know, Mom. We're going to have to figure that out. She said, I doused everything. And when I went to bed that night after I did, I went to bed, those spirits were gone. And you know how you share this scripture with God singing over me for the first time. I heard God sing over me. Spirits are gone. His spirit was in the room. And for 2 weeks, I'm on this revival. 2 weeks, I can do anything. I even have a bottle of oil in my pocket. And when I go to school, I anoint lockers now. This girl's radical because she's been to trash and now into glory. She's gone from the past. God changed her name, her identity. So I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know what you're thinking, what you've been doing. But you can have your identity stolen. Or you can even just give it away. And God says tonight, I want to restore. I want to restore your identity. Come on. In Christ Jesus. Okay, good. I'm going to ask you to come, Lou. Come here. For what? Nothing. Just come here. Grab that bottle of oil for me, please. I'm going to hear about this later. Trust me. No head bowed, no eye closed. I'm telling you, man, I'm into this. I don't want to embarrass anybody. I'm going to ask you straight up. How many of you want your identity changed tonight? I mean, literally. Now, wait a minute. I'm talking about, first of all, those that don't even know Christ. You're here tonight, you're wrestling. This man's been preaching his eyeballs out. You're sitting in church, you're getting it, but now all of a sudden you're like getting it. It's not because I'm here, it's because the Spirit of God's here. And God used a vessel from Michigan just to say what he's been saying. So I'm going to ask you a question. If you've been searching and running, you're sitting in your stuff, your junk. I heard your testimony about how delivered you are. 7 years now, my brother. What God did for your life. Your identity was changed at that moment. You've never looked back. Your children are awesome. They're here, whatever. And your wife can't. I'm telling you, restoration, reconciliation can happen. You don't know Jesus. You don't know Jesus. You're in here playing sometimes. But I've never taken a step, boom, and said, God, I need my identity in you. I'm tired of running. I'm not saved. I've never asked Jesus to come into my life. If that's you, 1, 2, 3, stand up. I want my life changed tonight. Praise the Lord. I'm not saved. I want my life changed tonight. I'm not playing around. I'm not playing around. I want my life changed. I want my life changed. The Bible says that all of kingdom right now is starting to go crazy. Biggest rock concert, biggest party I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you, because I'm preaching tonight, I think it this way. My dad's in the front going, bring it on, that's my boy. I'm going to ask you one more time. You want delivered. You want set free. You want your identity changed. Don't you dare lie and let the devil manipulate this moment. This is God's moment. So I'm going to ask you one more time on the count of three. You want changed, delivered, set free. No more lying to yourself. No more lying, looking in the mirror, and you're getting home tonight going, phew, it was too close. Oh my gosh, I almost gave in. Tonight's the night to give in. Because this church will take you on a journey. So I'm going to ask you, one, you're thinking about it. Two, it's definitely about not the person next to you. It's about you, baby. One, two, three, if that's you, stand up. Anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on down, brothers. Come on down, brother. That's what I'm talking about. Come here, brother. Come here, young man. And here's what I need. I need five men. I want you just to stand right here, shoulder to shoulder, facing the drums. Just roll right here, shoulder to shoulder. I need five men that will just put their hands behind these guys tonight. Just get behind them. I want to show you Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're going to anoint them with oil. Lou, why don't you just do this? Take that oil and just put a little bit on each head. We're going to anoint you with oil. Here's the second call tonight. Now wait, this is not where it stops. Because here's my second plea. You're saved. You've asked Christ to come into your life. But something's happened. You've had your password stolen. And it was called Christian. A follower of Jesus Christ. Christ-like. But somehow along the way, the devil's manipulated you to doubt the gospel, to doubt Christ, to doubt your belonging in the kingdom. And the Bible says, you want your inheritance? You better reconcile right here. You're saved, but do you want your inheritance? This is time to reconcile. This is time to say, God, forgive me. I know that I'm saved, but I need to rededicate myself. I'm not doing what you've called me to do. I'm not winning people to the Lord sitting beside me laughing at me because I'm reading the Word of God. I'm not leading people to the Lord in my marketplace and making a difference. I'm in my workplace, I'm at my school, but I'm not making an effective difference. Because why? I'm insecure in who I am. And I want to tell you tonight, you can regain your identity in Jesus Christ and get bold as a lion and start stepping on serpents. And wake up in the morning, put your feet on the floor and say, I cause hell to shake today. I do that every day on the way here. So if that's you, you're saved. But you want to reclaim your identity right now. I'm tired of playing. One, two, three, stand up. And I want you all to come this side and line up at these altars. Brother Lou, I want you to line up shoulder to shoulder all the way up front here. Brother Lou, you're the dabber tonight. I thank you. Come on over here, young people. Shoulder to shoulder. You men have made one, young men have made one of the greatest decisions. How old are you? 9 years old. I told you I was 8. You're 9. That's what I'm talking about. It's okay to cry, man. Because before Jesus tonight, you are now in the kingdom of God tonight. You are going to change everything at 9 years old. You are a purpose for this moment. God says, I'm going to put power and authority in you at 9. And I'm going to rock the world because of you. You're making the greatest decision of your life, buddy. You don't have to wait till pain comes and hurt comes and deceit comes and all the lies and every manipulation. Tonight you can say, I'm steady. I'm staying focused because I'm going to love Jesus with everything. I'm about to change my world. I'm about to change my world. I want everybody to pray this prayer as Pastor Lou is going and he's anointing with oil. And be patient, it's coming. I want everybody to pray this prayer with me tonight, this salvation prayer, because I want to tell you this. Before you pray this prayer, gentlemen, welcome. Welcome to the presence of God. You felt it tonight. He's in this place, and he's about to radically change all of your thinking, all of your habits. He's going to make all things new. You cannot look back. You cannot blame anymore. You can't say, boom, boom, I'm doing this because. You are accountable before God now. I feel the heart beating. You know why that heart's racing? Because there's excitement there for the gospel. It's going to happen, bro. You're going to set people free. You're going to walk in and lay hands on your brothers and stuff, your sisters. They're going to be set free because of you. What you did tonight, young man, you're going to radically change your culture in this millennial age. Pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me. Renew me. I am not junk. From this moment on, I claim my inheritance in the kingdom of God. I choose you as the master of my life. From this moment on, even through trouble, through circumstance, through mishap, being lied to, I will not look back. I will look forward. I will trust you, and I put my life in you. For I am a child of the King right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The rest I'd like to do now, grab somebody by the hand. Before Pastor Marty comes, I want to do a rededication of my life to Jesus. You know, I served a pastor for years. All these years, I've served a pastor. He's what he used to say to me. Every day, rededicate your life to Jesus. Every day. Because how many know we can mess up? Come on, how many know we can mess up? Here's what I'm going to ask the rest of you, because you all look like you know what God's doing. Because if you didn't come over for salvation and you didn't come forward for rededication, that means that the rest of you are seated there because you got everything together and you're prayer warriors. Now, wait a minute. I'm not blowing smoke. I'm just telling you straight up. There's two altar calls here. And the reason why you're still seated there, unless you're being manipulative in your own life and you think this isn't going to work. Because if not, then I'm going to ask you right now, if you know someone up here, or not even anybody up here, would you get up out of your seat? Now, if you can't move, don't curse at me. If you can't move, stay. But there's no reason why you should be sitting there, and you should be sitting there, and you should be sitting there, and you should be sitting there when I'm asking now. You're prayer warriors. These are the saints of God now. Come on, somebody. See, I'm leaving tonight, so you can get mad at me. It's all right. But I want to solidify this. And even if you didn't move, you're moving now. Maybe you're going to rededicate your life now that you didn't want to move, because you got a little radical man that moved you. But there's two things of this: salvation or rededication. That means the rest of you that were seated there are on fire for Jesus. There's no mixing words. Everything you touch, every place you walk, Joshua chapter 1, you're claiming for Jesus. So I'm talking about a city church that's in a city. What are we doing from this place on once we leave here tonight to change our sidewalk? Why aren't we walking in the face of the enemy and calling it what it is? Why are you not walking in the places of your with your children, your babies, praying over them at night? You can do this. You can do this, son. You can do this, daughter. I'm going to show you how. Watch me. Follow me. Listen to me. Walk with me. Somebody in here even has to say you're sorry to somebody you've been offended by. I love what God's doing around this nation. He's bringing reconciliation to families, to sons and to daughters, to those that have been manipulated and abused. I saw it 2 weeks ago where an entire family showed up to church on a Sunday morning. The pastor looked at me and said, "This is a miracle. I did a 5-day revival. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we got the Sunday. We got the Sunday. There were miracles. There were healings. There was salvation, rededication." And an entire family, there was 11 or 12 of them, showed up. The brothers and sisters, not the little kids, they were in church. And the pastor said, "Wait a minute. So-and-so, you're here today with the entire family. This family has been separated for 17 years. They wouldn't talk to each other. They hated each other. A brother and sister did something. A family member did something to disrupt the line. They didn't meet for holidays. This is incredible what happened. They wouldn't even talk to each other. They hated each other. But this man on a Thursday night got his life right with Jesus. And he said, listen, I'm the eldest in my family. I'm calling all of my siblings, all of my family, and I'm going to tell them, I'm sorry, forgive me, I'm wrong. I want reconciliation. I want us to make it to kingdom. And that Sunday morning was a testimony. They all showed up. So don't tell me it's impossible. God says all things are possible. But you've got to know who your identity is. You've got to quit being lied to and manipulated. I know who I am in Christ. And I know what I can do in Christ. God says greater work will we do than He does. It's time this church body starts to set the captive free. It's a time we take over our marketplace and our restaurants. And we ask waiters and waitresses, what is it we can pray for? You walk into a shopping mart and somebody's having a bad day at the counter and you say, ma'am, listen, looks like you're having a bad day. I know a man that can change your life right now. His name's Jesus. Here's my money. God bless you. Boom. You watch them look at you when you leave. I'm not trying to hoard this altar. I'm not trying to waste time right here. I drove 6 hours to get here. I was ready to preach when I first got in my car this morning at 8:30. I'm telling you right now, there is something that's taking place here that we've got to let God, let this swell in your spirit. Let it grow in you. Let it start to grow in you right now in this moment. Become pregnant right now with Jesus. Become pregnant with this spirit. This spirit in you, how many can feel this? Can anybody feel what's happening right now? Brother, go ahead and start singing something soft in the background. I want you to take somebody by the hand. Body of Christ, grab one another, because I know what's going to happen when you do this. Take somebody by the hand or put a hand on somebody's shoulder if you don't want to touch them. But I want you to start praying right now as we begin to sing this song. I want you to start praying and saying, God, take this out of my life. I've put this on the back burner too long. Tonight I submit this to you. Not only me, but my habit. The thing that I'm confessing right now. Begin to tell him right now. Don't look at me. Just bow your head, close your eyes. You want relationships to change? The Bible says that whatsoever we speak, if we start to say what it is, God says, if you speak it, I will heal you. Come on, brothers and sisters. Come on, brother.
Surrender to what I can't see.
Jesus,
I'm giving in to
Jesus.
Something.
Come on,
heavenly.
come on, brother. Go ahead.
Whatever you're doing,
Jesus,
inside me.
Whatever you're doing,
it feels like chaos. Somehow it's peace.
It doesn't make sense, God. It feels like chaos.
I'm surrender.
But I surrender. I surrender right now. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
Something heavenly. Something heavenly. Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
Something heavenly.
Come on.
Something heavenly.
Yes, yes, come on. Fill that up. Come on, church.
Something heavenly.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father God, we come before you tonight. We're asking you for reconciliation. We're asking you, Lord, that our identity has been stolen. Our identity has been given away. Tonight we want to reclaim the identity of who we are in you, Christ Jesus. Lord, it's no longer me. Come on, somebody. Lord, it's no longer me. It's no longer me, Lord. Come on, tell him tonight. It's no longer me, God. It is about you. It's about what I can do to change my sidewalk, my environment, my family. You restore to me the joy of your salvation, God. Well up in me and inspire me that I can. It's not just the pastor. It's not just the associate of music. It's in me.
Oh, it's all about you, Lord.
For your word says in Deuteronomy chapter 11 that you could put the terror and the fear of me in the whole land as I take a step for kingdom purpose. God, release kingdom in me. Release kingdom through me. Come on, somebody. That's good to say. Release kingdom in me. Release kingdom through me. For it is all about the throne of God. It's all about the blood of Jesus. It's all about my identity in Christ Jesus alone. Accolades won't do. The pats on the backs will turn to a stab in the back. So God, I don't need pats in the back. I need to do what you call me to do. And that's to be a build disciples, to reach people, to raise people, to release people to kingdom principles.
It's not about me.
And watch God work. And God, I pray for blessing in this place. I pray for healing in this place. I pray for, God, that I will find out more who I am in you. In you. In you. Bless us. Bless us. I want you to say this with me. God, bless me tonight. Come on. God, bless me tonight. Show yourself to me tonight. Breathe in me. Come on, somebody. Speak to me. Show me who you are. Show me who I am in you. In you. In you.
Yes. Thank you, Lord God. Just open up your hand tonight. Just before we leave here, I just believe the Lord, He's already deposited something so beautiful. And I hope you heard Brother Randy, while he was speaking, that something powerful was coming to you, and you can let go of some of the things that have defined and hindered you and hurt you tonight. And I want you to do that right now. I want let go of the hand next to you and just open it up and say, God, I give it all to you. Come on, say it like you mean it. God, I give it all to you. It's yours tonight. I don't even know what's happening right now, but it's yours. Say, Lord, I trust you with my life. Trust you with my future. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, you have done a remarkable work here tonight. And we don't take it lightly, nor do we take it for granted. But God, I pray for each and every one standing in the front here tonight. Lord, they made a commitment to you tonight. And I know because of that, as a result of that, you have committed something to them. So I pray, Lord, in the next few days, in the next week, and over the course of a month, a few months, Lord, that there will be radical changes in their lives. God, there will be a demonstration of release and freedom and help and hope that is going to come to each and every one here tonight. In the name of Jesus, I pray. I give you great thanks for it. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said amen. Amen.